That's okay. He needs it. Shit.
Gimel Menachem Ov, Sunday the 4th of August, Rabbi Yehuda Landi, the Bar Kochba Revolt. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lulu Nishmas, from Shlomo Zvi ben Rav Moshe Mordechai, Zichrono Livracha.
I hope it's okay. I did it quickly.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be back here. It's an honor. We said we'll speak today about the Bar Kochba revolt. And we start with the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth parak in Tainis, where the Mishnah says, Chamisha Dvarim Eros Esavisenu B'Shiva Asavitamos V'Chamisha B'Tishabav. Five tragedies occurred on Shiva Asavitamos, and five occurred on Tishabav. And the Mishnah lists the five on Tishabav. B'Tishabav Nigzal Avisenu Shalai Kam Tzularit. The Meraglim came back the day before Tishabav, so it was Nigzar, the Klal Yisrael cried, and Hashem said, you cried a b'chiyah shel chinam, you cried for no valid reason, and nikbalachem b'chiyah ledoros, this night will be a night of crying for generations. B'char v'abayis v'rishona v'ashniyah, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were both destroyed on Tisha B'Av. V'nilkad ha-beitar, and the city of Beitar was captured, v'nechash ha-ha'ir, and the city was plowed. That's what the Mishnah tells us. So the first three we know from the Psukim and the Gemara. Nilkad ha-beitar, obviously when the Mishnah was compiled, everyone knew what Beitar was. Beitar was a city which, as we'll see, was the last stronghold of Bar Kochba, or as he's known as Bar Kochba, v'nechash ha'ir, and the city was plowed. So it's alluding to what's known as the Bar Kochba revolt. Now the Bar Kochba revolt takes place, according to Chazal, 52 years after the Churban, which means if the Churban Bayis Sheni was around the year 70, plus minus, I know according to Rashi was the year 68, according to others year 69, year 70, but let's use 70 as a round number, which is probably accurate, but we're not going into that. That would take us to the year 122, and it lasted for 2.5 years to 125. If we look at the scientific aspect of it, it happened 10 years later, from the years 132 to 135. It's beyond the scope of what I'm here to go into this discrepancy of 10 years, which I cannot resolve. Let's take the approach, a couple ways to try to resolve this issue. But we know the Emperor Hadrian, the Roman Emperor Hadrian at the time, he was the one who crushed the revolt. And yes, Great Britain had something to do with that, because this was a very tough test for the Roman army. And according to some historians, this was the toughest test that the Roman army ever faced. And Hadrian, who had visited Britain in 122, probably met this general and decided he was the proper one to crush the revolt, and brought him from Britain. Again, about 10 years later, 135, a little more, and brought him to crush the revolt. So that's how Britain ties into this story. What do we know about this revolt, and what difference does it make to us? We know from Jewish sources, the Mishnah, which we mentioned, the Yerushalmi in Tainis, has a lot more than the Bavli, which only says a couple of words. There's the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara refers to the tragedy of Beitar in the Agadas of the Churban in Perek HaNizokin. We do have a few lines in a Roman biographer by the name Cassius Dio, who wrote a biography on Hadrian after Hadrian died, and there he has about two paragraphs telling a little about what led to this revolt and how the Jews revolted. And we have today the archaeological material which teaches us a lot about what happened there. Besides, the most important archaeological evidence is always the written material, and until modern times, until the last 50 years, 60 years, the only written material were the Bar Kokhba coins. But in the 1960s, at a site near En Gedi, a site called Nachal Chever, a bunch of a few caves that served as hideouts for the Jews who ran away from En Gedi, they hid there. They perished in these caves, but their possessions remained there until excavated in the 60s, found over there were also a bunch of documents. Some of them were written at the command of Shimon Bar Kokhba himself. Now, a couple of words about the name. I use Bar Kokhba freely because that's the common name that's known. But Bar Kokhba does not appear in any Jewish sources. We'll soon see there's an allusion to it. In the Gemara, he's always called Bar Kozivo. And the Gemara is always called Bar Kozivo. And we'll get back to that. The documents have his name, Shimon Bar Kusiva. Shimon Bar Kusiva with a Samach. Now, a lot has been said about this, the difference between the Samach and the Zion. In my humble opinion, there is no difference. It's just two, sometimes letters interchange. Aleph and Ayin can be mistakable. A Zion and a Samach can also be mistakable. So the name Kusiva and Kusiva are actually the same name. Okay, I mentioned we have coins. The coins are interesting because a lot of them have stuff from the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The end of the revolt, we know what happened. It was a very tragic end. According to Cassius Dio, 500,000 people were killed, 500,000 Yidden were killed. According to the Yerushalmi in Tainis, Bar Kokhba had an army of 400,000 people, so the number 500,000 is not such an exaggeration. If you talk about that was his army, the whole Judea, the whole southern part of Eretz Yisrael became, I would use a modern term, Judenrein, basically. No Jews in Judea, except, some people will argue with this, except in the southern area of Yehuda. The southern area of Yehuda, if you've been and toured Eretz Yisrael, south of Hebron, there's a site called Susia, which has a shul over there from after Bar Kokhba and Gedi. Has a shul after Bar Kokhba. The southern part has a bunch of shuls in the southern part of Judea, but the heart of Judea, we don't find any shuls, or kemat not any shuls, from the post-Bar Kokhba era. The name changed from Judea to Palestine. Now, Palestine was an original name before, but that's what the name was renamed, and Yerushalayim became a pagan city, which leads us to the concept of Nechash HaHir. Nechash HaHir is obviously talking about Yerushalayim. It doesn't necessarily mean that they plowed the entire city. There are Roman coins minted in Yerushalayim. On the front, we see Hadrian himself, who Chazal always referred to him as Shchik Tamya, may his bones rot. And on the reverse, we see plowing a city. Now, plowing around the city, when they established a new city, they plowed around the city. So the Nechash HaHir is symbolic that on that day, Tisha B'Av, Yerushalayim became a pagan city. It was now to be named Aelia Capitolina. Aelia was the name of one of the names of Hadrian. Capitolina was the name of the Avodah Zarah that was worshipped in Yerushalayim. A coin with that Avodah Zarah is on display in the British Museum here in London. And those are the tragic results of the revolt. Interestingly, the Rambam, when he talks about Bias HaMashiach, one chapter before the last in the Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam goes through the whole thing of what the purpose of the Mashiach is, what his objectives are, and what he's supposed to do. And this Rambam, I think, is well known, but very often very misunderstood. And the reason why it's misunderstood is because a lot of this Rambam has been censored. And most of the editions that you have until the modern-day Frankel Rambam are censored. So half of this thing that the Rambam is saying is missing, and therefore people don't understand what exactly the meaning of the Rambam is. And I think, you know, one of the questions we're going to try to resolve is an interesting thing. One of the questions, for example, the Mishnah brings in the beginning of Ketzat Tzolin that you cannot roast the Pesach on a grill because the grill heats up, And the Pesach roasts from the heat of the grill and not from the fire. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok argues, he says, Maisa Bar Gamliel, Shama L'Tevi Avdo, Tzeit Shlo Lodos HaPesach Al Askelo. Rav Gamliel told Tevi, his slave, roast us the Pesach on the grill, so he's trying to bring a point that it is permissible. Now, the Rashash on this Mishnah comes to the question, when did Rav Gamliel live? Was he in the time of Beis HaMikdash? So I understand that he's roasting on Korban Pesach. But if he was after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why is he roasting on Korban Pesach? So the Rashash has, he quotes the Seder HaDoros, who says from Rashi, that Rashi on the Mishnah says, Tevi Abdo, from Gamliel, he was in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi already avoided the issue by saying, Ram Gamliel was around the time of Beis HaMikdash. But the Rashash points out that in our Rashi is not there. And then he says, V'mnitan ima l'sayfri ha'amim, if we believe the non-Jewish historians, Asher ben Kuziva b'molcho b'na Beis HaMikdash, ben Kuziva, when he ruled, he built the Beis HaMikdash, v'achriva Adrianus, and in the end, Hadrian destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that Bar Kuziva built. So in other words, we could say Rav Gamliel was around in the time of Hadrian when Bar Kuziva built the Beis HaMikdash, and then they were Makif Korban Pesach. That's what the Rashash wants to offer. But he says, you know, we need some Jewish sources for that to know that there was actually a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore he goes on to suggest a different interpretation. It wasn't an actual Korban Pesach. It was a commemoration of the Korban Pesach. Not relevant for us. But anyway, the question, did Bar Kuziva, did Bar Kochba actually capture Yerushalayim? He fought, as I said, he fights against the Romans. We said he had a massive army. And the war took place for two and a half years. And as I said, it was one of the toughest tests that the Roman army ever faced. Interesting question, did he capture Yerushalayim or not? So I think we learned the Rambam, and time is short, but I'll put an emphasis on the stuff again that's been censored, but it's all around today in the Frankel Rambam, you can all see it. The Rambam in the first halacha, parak before last, I think it's Yud Aleph, in Hilchos Melachim, he puts the objectives of the Mashiach. The Mashiach is going to restore Malchus Beis David. And Bona Migdash, he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash, U'mekabes Nitzchei Yisrael, and he's going to gather the Klal Yisrael who are scattered about, and all the laws of the Torah will be restored like they were once. They'll be makriv korbanos and do the mitzvah of Shemitah and Yovel as is required in the Torah. Because nowadays Shemitah is noeg, Yovel not, but it's noeg midrabanon. And when Mashiach will come, so then everything will be back to what it was. Now the Rambam goes on, and I'm not going to go into this, to prove that the belief in Bias HaMashiach is a fundamental in the Torah, and a person who doesn't believe in Bias HaMashiach is actually kofer in the Torah, not only Divrei Nevi'im, but in the Torah itself. The Rambam goes a whole bunch of proofs for that. And then in the next halacha, the Rambam says, V'al yala al daitcho, sh'amelech HaMashiach tzorch la'asos olso sumofsim. Don't think for a moment that Melech HaMashiach has to prove himself by making miracles or doing something supernatural. Mechadish Baram Ba'olam, or Mechaya Mesim, or Du Tiretz HaMesim, Kayotzim Yitvarim, Elu Shatip Shim Omrim, that the fools think. Ein Adobo Ke. Rambam says that's not the case. Shai Rabbi Kiva Chochem Godel Mechach Me Mishnah Hoya. Rabbi Kiva was a great Chochem from the Chachem Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, of course. He was literally, Nosei Kelim means the arms bearer, the one who goes after the general and carries his weapons of Bar Kuziva. And he used to say, he used to refer to Bar Kuziva as Melech HaMashiach. And he, Rabbi Kiva, and all the other Chacham of the Dor accepted this, assumed that is Mashiach. Kimon Shenerak, no Dasheni Mashiach. Once he was killed, it's obvious that he's not no longer Mashiach. Chachamim didn't ask from him any proof that he's Mashiach. Rabbi Kiva declared him Mashiach, and that is in the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Tainis, which I mentioned, fourth Perek. Tanya Rav Shimon Yochai. Rabbi Kiva Yodoresh, Dorach Kocho Miyakov, Dorach Kozma Miyakov. The pasuk that says Dorach Kocho Miyakov, as in the Nevuah of Bilam, that a star will rise from Yaakov, that's referring to Kozma. So in other words, it's a play on words. His name is Kozma, because we'll soon see where that name comes from. His name is Kozma, and Rabbi Kiva said Kochma, meaning he is the star, he is the Mashiach, Dorach Kocho Miyakov. Rabbi Kiva katavachami bar Koziva, when Rabbi Kiva would see bar Koziva, he would say, Deinu Malka Mashiach. This is the Mashiach. Amal Rabbi Yochum and Taurus, Rabbi Yochum and Taurus, that's all the Makiva. Yalu asav and bilchayecha. Grass will grow on your cheeks. Vadayin bedomid lobo. So first of all, okay, the Rambam says that Rabbi Kiva thought that, assumed that he, bar Koziva was Mashiach. He says everyone else agreed. That doesn't seem to be exactly the case from the Yerushalmi and Tainis, which says that there was at least one dissenter at the time. But okay, but let's now on the pasuk Dorach Kocho Miyakov, the Torah Tzmima in the Chumash says like this: Koyal Ben Koziva, Shabbi Mei Rabbi Kiva. It's referring to Ben Koziva. Kano the Tova Rabbi Kiva Mikodim. Rabbi Kiva, I'm quoting the Torah Tzmima, error, made a mistake. Kasava Shu Mashiach. And he thought he was Mashiach. And in the end, Rabbi Kiva retracted that. And Bar Koziva was killed. So he says this is the reason why it's called Bar Kochva, because he was Bar Koziva, but if he's a star, he's Bar Kochva. And after they realized that he is not real, he's Shenepach lachzav, disappointment, was something that didn't last forever. But then he goes on, he says, in Megitzin, the person is referred to Bar Daroma, from the south. Shayam Eir Kiziv, Shubadroma Shalayit Yisrael. He says he came from the city of Kiziv, Bar Kozma. So I could say today, in the scientific world, it's also assumed that his name Bar Koziva comes from the fact that he came from a city called Kiziv, which is a little north of Hebron, Bar Kozma. There's a spring over there, which still preserves the name, Ein Kozma. But Bar Kochma actually means, again, that he was Mashiach, and as I said, Bar Kochma itself does not appear in the Jewish sources. Now, the Rambam goes on and says, V'ikar advarim kachem. Now, the Rambam argues on the Rambam with the issue of Mofsim, but based on the Gemara and the Bavli, but we're not going to go into that now. So the Rambam says, so what's the main thing? He doesn't have to do Mofsim. So what does he have to do? So the Rambam says, the Torah laws will not change. They will remain for eternal. You cannot add on them. Shall mitzvahs mipshutan, harayzim vadei rasha vapikaris. It says, the Torah is eternal. No one can add to it, no one can subtract to it, or no one can say that the mitzvah of the Torah is misunderstood and should be interpreted in a different way. And a person who knows that is a rasha vapikaris. Then the Rambam continues. V'myamad melech mibeis dovet, I think everyone knows, is familiar with this section in the Rambam. V'myamad melech mibeis dovet, hoge b'torah, v'osik b'mitzvahs kedovet hoge. If a melech was lineage to his David, will get up, and he'll be also in Torah and mitzvahs like David. To be Torah Shem Achsav, Torah Shem Alpin. For Yaakov, Kol Yisrael, Leilech Bo, Lechazik Bitka. And he will force all of Klai Yisrael to follow the Torah. For Yilachim, Mechamas Hashem, and he'll go to war, Mechamas Hashem, which means physical wars. Harezim, Mecheskas, Ru Mashiach. This is a chazaka that this person is Mashiach. And then the Rambam continues, Imasav Itzliach, V'nitzach Kol HaUm HaShem Esvivav. If he was victorious and defeated the nations around, Uvana Mikdash Mimkamo, and he built the base of Mikdash, V'kibes Nitzchei Yisrael, Harezah Mashiach Badai. So the Rambam over here says, there's two things. There's Cheskas Mashiach, a person who's assumed to be Mashiach, and there's Mashiach Badai. Mashiach Badai means someone who's definitely Mashiach. Now the Rambam continues, and this is the censored part, where the Rambam goes in to the concept of the different Mashiachim that the Christians and the Muslims have, one second. Yeah, but before that he says, if he did not succeed or is killed, so then so obviously he's not the one that the Torah told us is referring to that he's going to be Mashiach. But what is his status? He is not less than any other kosher melech of Beis David who died. You know, we had a lot of melech of Beis David over the years, and he's one in the chain. So why did Hashem bring this to test us? And the Rambam brings the pasuk in Nedim. So, if I make the story, one of the questions which is commonly asked is that the Rambam brings a raya that Mashiach doesn't have to do Mo'av Sin. We learned that from Rabbi Akiva. But in the bottom line is that Rabbi Akiva was not the Mashiach. So if it's not the Mashiach, how can you bring a raya from Rabbi Akiva if that was not the case? I tell you an interesting story that's known. Rabbi Chaim Brisker and his Talmidim were on a train once, and they bumped into a Christian missionary, and a whole debate started. Is Yashka Mashiach? Is he not Mashiach? So the Talmud says he can't be Mashiach. He says, why can't he be Mashiach? Because he's dead, and a dead person cannot be Mashiach. So the missionary says, well, wait a second. How can you be so sure? You guys can also make mistakes. Rabbi Akiva made a mistake. He thought that Bar Kizim was Mashiach, and he wasn't. So you guys can make mistakes. So how are you so sure? You know. So the Talmidim didn't know what to answer. So then Rav Chaim intervened and said, yes, but how do you know that Bar Kizkiva is not Mashiach? Because Bar Kizkiva was killed. So in other words, you're in essence saying that a person who's dead cannot be Mashiach. So that's how Rav Chaim answered the missionary. That's in essence what the Rambam is saying. But the question is again, what is the Raya from Bar Kizkiva? So what the Rambam clearly is saying over here, and there's no doubt this is a pshat in the Rambam, when you learn the whole parak from beginning to end, what the Rambam is basically saying is that Rabbi Akiva did not make a mistake. Rabbi Akiva's behavior, what is a rule for us, even today, if such a situation would arise, we would have to act like Rabbi Akiva. Now, you have a concept of Cheskas Mashiach, and you have Mashiach Vadei. So the Rambam is basically saying, if Mashiach does A, B, and C, he is Cheskas Mashiach. Now, what does it do that he's Cheskas Mashiach? I assume it means you should be supporting him. In other words, he has potential to be Mashiach. You should be supporting him. But then the Rambam says, if he does D, E, and F, then he's Mashiach Vada. But if he doesn't do D, E, and F, so what was he? He was a kosher king of Beis David, but not Mashiach. That's an answer. Now, basically, what the Rambam is saying is Bar Kizkiva, he accomplished A, B, and C. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva declared him Mashiach, meaning he's Cheskas Mashiach. But it's not that he made a mistake. In other words, this is how we should be behaving. This is how we should be acting if such a thing happens in the future. But you should know. You should know that this is not the bottom line. Because if he doesn't do D, E, and F, then he's not Mashiach. D and F means he's absolute Mashiach. Now the Rambam at the beginning of
it means that in this period you're not waiting for Mashiach.
Why not?
Because like you're obviously like waiting for the wrong person to kind of be reveal himself, and he's not Mashiach. So for
why the wrong person again? If
Rambam wasn't Mashiach,
we're going to shorten time, and it's an interesting.
Okay. Afterwards, okay. So now the Rambam, once again, I go back to the beginning of the parak where the Rambam puts the objectives of the Mashiach, and the Rambam says that the purpose of Mashiach, again, is that he's going to restore Malchus Beis David, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to become a Simcha Yisrael and gather all Klal Yisrael who are scattered. Now when the Rambam goes on at the end of the parak and talks about Mashiach Vadai, those are exactly the things that the Rambam says. The second stage, after we have Cheskas Mashiach, he was victorious over the nations. And he builds the Beis HaMikdash, and he gathers Nivcha Yisrael. So then, Hariz Mashiach Vada, meaning his objectives. If he completes his objectives, he's 100% Mashiach. But you should be assisting him. That's the way I understand the Rambam. Cheskas Mashiach, even when he gets to the preliminary stage, he's Becheskas Mashiach. But that doesn't guarantee that doesn't guarantee that afterwards he's going to complete the job. Now, if I take this one step further, so I take back to the question that we asked, we try to figure out, did Bar Kokhba build the Beis HaMikdash or not? There are some who suggested that he did. We quoted the Rashash, but the way the Rambam learned, for sure not. Now, the Rambam is using Bar Kokhba as an example of someone who's potential Mashiach, but wasn't Mashiach. He says, in order for him to be Mashiach, he's got to build Beis HaMikdash, which means that Bar Kokhba did not build Beis HaMikdash. But on the other hand, the Rambam is clearly talking out against non-Jewish concepts. One of them is that the mitzvahs no longer apply. And therefore, when the Rambam says, what is the key for Mashiach? The Rambam says, Heikar Dvarim Kenu Shatara Zos, the Torah Ein Chukei Mishpatei Mishtanim La'olam. The Torah will not change. Meaning you have to have a person who's forcing Klal Yisrael, who's leading Klal Yisrael to keeping mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. Not someone who says that the Torah mitzvahs don't no longer apply. So if I look at the archaeological evidence, we have a couple of very interesting things. One is that a document from Bar Kokhba, which you mentioned, discovered in Nachal Chever, a document in which Bar Kokhba requests that they, from someone to send him lulavim and esrogim and adasim for sukkahs because he has a lot of people in the army camp. So again, he's a person who's keeping mitzvahs and in the logistics of the war, he's making sure that everyone should have the lulav and esrog. And on the Bar Kokhba coins, you have one famous coin with one showing probably the facade of the Beis HaMikdash. And on the reverse, you have a lulav and an esrog. Interestingly, there's also Adasim and Aravos, but I would say Adas and Arava. One Adas and one Arava. Now in the Mishnah, in Masechah Sukkah, you have a Machlokes, how many Adasim and Aravos you need. And Rabbi Kiva says, Esrog Adas Echad V'Arava Achas. Rabbi Kiva was Bar Kokhba's mentor. So it's not surprising that his coins have one Adas and one Arava. Also on the coins you have Klei Shir from the Beis HaMikdash. We also have a document in which the lands that belonged to the Roman government, Bar Kokhba probably took over as a Nasi, and he leased them out. And one of them is leased in the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and it's a lease to last until Erev Shavuos, which shows you that they kept the mitzvahs of Shavuos, and therefore no one leases land for Shavuos. It also helps in determining the precise year of which is Shavuos. That's a long story in itself, not for now. The Rambam was not sure how to resolve the issue when the Shavuos year was. In the end, he accepted the Shittas HaGaonim, which all archaeological evidence points to that indeed was the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael. So the bottom line is, Bar Kokhba, he was not Mashiach, but the Rambam says he was one of the Malchei Beis David HaKshirim, and it was a test, and Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we shall see the real Mashiach, b'meirah v'yameinu.